The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manicero, and this is the show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes, type in Old Dog, spelled D-A-W-G, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, today we've got a great guest, Mark Ferguson. Mark Ferguson, his purpose is to help as many people as he can become financially free through real estate. He's a realtor, real estate investor, author, and creator of Invest4More, that's spelled F-O-U-R, 4more.com. Mark's real estate team sells hundreds of homes a year. He has flipped over 100 houses, owns 16 rental properties, and has written 5 books. Invest4More.com is a real estate blog with over 300,000 views a month, over 20,000 subscribers, and a wealth of free information. Well, Mark, welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Oh, thank you. Great to be here and happy to hopefully help some people and share some knowledge.
Well, we're real excited to have you. Our show is really geared towards folks that are 50 plus and people that may be starting real estate a little bit later in life. We're always interested in investors that can give us, you know, techniques and various other aspects of real estate investing that can help them to make this something that can supplement their retirement or at least position them so that they'll be ready for their retirement when it comes.
Right.
Well, Mark, I just wanted to ask you first, how'd you get involved in real estate investing?
Well, my dad was an agent since 1978. Which was right before I was born. I grew up around real estate. I used to sleep under his desk in the office because he seemed like he's working all the time. And ironically, growing up in high school, I wanted nothing to do with it. So I had been around it just my whole life. I went to college with a business degree and an emphasis in finance. And after college, I could not find that dream job or that perfect job. And reluctantly, I said, okay, I'll just go work part-time for my dad until I figure out what I want to do. And I kind of got sucked into the business, ended up getting my real estate license. And along the way, my dad also flipped houses once in a while. So that was the part of the business I really liked. I liked, seeing houses transformed into something different and finding great deals. And I don't know if, you know, flipping is definitely thought of as investing, but it's also a job. You know, once you flip a house, you're done. And it isn't making you passive income. It's really, you've got to keep working to make the money come in. And so along the way, I became a better agent, started listing foreclosures for banks, making more money, and we started flipping more houses. And then I kind of realized I need to do something with my money. I need to make it grow faster. And that's when I started buying rental properties about 8 years into my real estate career. And just really knew rentals were the best way I could make my money grow and create that passive income that just keeps coming in.
Well, that's great. Now you you have a goal, right, that you're shooting for. You currently own, is it 16 rental properties?
I did have 16, but I actually sold a couple this last year because our market in Colorado is just crazy with appreciation. So I have a goal to buy 100 properties by 2023, and I'm way behind on it because I was doing pretty well buying properties pretty quick. And then the median price where I'm at in Greeley, Colorado, was $110,000 in 2012. And now the median price is over $260,000.
Gee so whiz. No wonder you're selling.
Right. I sold a couple of those because rents have not caught up with prices, so it's hard to cash flow. And really, you know, rental properties are awesome, but there's some markets where they just don't make sense. And I'm in one of those markets right now.
Wow. Have you started looking out of state at all or in other areas?
Yeah, I actually took a trip to Florida last year. I really liked that market. I was kind of set to buy some things down there, but then my fix and flipping business took off, and I've been focusing on building that up. And I've also looked at buying commercial properties in my area, which seem to have some opportunity. So, you know, I've got 17 flips going at the moment right now, which keeps me busy. And then I'm kind of looking at buying some warehouses and dividing them up into smaller units in my area. So I'm kind of at a crossroads right now to try and decide if I want to buy more single family rentals in another market or switch gears to a completely different investment in my own market.
Interesting. Well, you know, that's, I think a way a lot of us have started, a lot of people do start out, you know, just buying single family homes. And I did as well. It was just a, you know, sort of a, my light bulb moment was when I, you know, I bought three properties to start off, two single family and a duplex, and paid pretty much about the same for all three of them. But the duplex was paying me twice as much in cash flow. And I'm going, wait a minute, I pay the same amount here. Instead of two houses, though, I have to deal, you know, with just one roof, one, you know, one insurance policy, one property tax statement. I mean, I just started, just the economies of scale, even at two, hit me as, wow, what if I had a triplex or a quad, you know, or eight units, or, you know, I started to look at it a little bit differently. But I don't know if that's a thought process you're going through now or not. You know, it's funny, you sent you have 100 houses by 2023. And I've set a goal of 1,000 units by 2020. I mean, this is a crazy goal. I know. Let's see how far I can get with it. But, you know, it's I think it's a good idea at least to have your goal and go for it. And, you know, it may change. Maybe it'll change to, you know, doors or, you know, units as opposed to, you know, actual buildings. But yeah, it definitely, I think it's definitely a good move to go.
Yeah. And on the multifamily side, I've looked into that. And I think so much depends on your market. In Colorado, multifamily properties are so expensive here. They sell at about a 5 cap rate, which is really hard to make money with unless you're paying just all cash for everything. So yeah, I've looked at that side of it, and there's just a lot of money in Colorado buying properties. So it makes it tough. And if I was in another market, you know, it could be completely opposite where multifamilies make much more sense. But that's the nice part about real estate, is it's different everywhere, and that creates a lot of opportunities.
That's right. I was going to say, you have pretty good cap rate compared to California. I think it's two points better than us on our cap rate, California here. Well, that's fantastic. Well, you know, when you bought your first home, it probably wasn't a big deal because you've been a real estate agent for a while. Is that right? Before you bought your first home?
I bought my first house right when I became an agent. That was a personal house, not really an investment. And I made a lot of mistakes on that one. But when I bought my first rental property, you know, I've been in the business, it was 2010. I've been in the business 8 or 9 years. And it was still a big deal for me. I mean, it's kind of crazy, but I think they say, you know, 95% of agents never buy an investment property and 50% never even buy their own personal house. So
really?
It doesn't always, yeah, wow. The statistics are staggering. And it, by the time it, I realized I really wanted to invest in properties, it was probably a year and a half before I actually bought my first rental. And we've been, you know, I've been flipping houses with my dad and around real estate my whole life, but it's just, you know, it's tough to, because you save your money, you know, you have a down payment, it's a lot of money to invest in it, and it's tough to go over that first hurdle. But once I bought it, I realized, you know, I'd been making up stories in my head about it being a much bigger deal than it really was. Then things moved very quickly after that.
Yeah. Well, and the flipping, now had you flipped a number of houses before you bought that first investment property?
Yeah, we had probably, you know, flipped 40 houses before then.
Wow.
But, you know, flipping's completely different because you're selling the house in 6 months. So as long as you know you're going to make money on it, you know, you're going to get rid of it. But with a rental, you're keeping it. So I think you have to be a lot more careful with rentals and flips.
Right. But you know, you have that background, which I think is great to have. I think that, you know, having that flipping background, you know what things cost, and you know repairs. You also know what improves the value of a home. And I imagine after a while, after you've done enough flips, you know, you can almost estimate the ARV without having to sit down with a pen and pencil. I mean, you can probably get a pretty good idea. So I think that'd be a real valuable knowledge to have as a buy and hold guy as well.
Yes, for sure. Knowing the ARV is huge. One of the most important things, whether you're flipping or buying rentals, and flipping helps with that a lot. And my background as an agent really brought a lot to that as well. And especially listing properties for banks and HUD, you know, we're required to do broker price opinions, give them values on all the properties. And that was an incredible education to learn how to value properties, and doing a bunch of BPOs all over the place. It teaches you values very quickly. So yeah, you can give me an address and within about 20 miles of me, and I can probably tell you what it's worth within 5 to 10%.
That's the great thing about, yeah, you investing in your hood, so to speak, because you really have that advantage of, you know, knowing the streets, knowing the neighborhoods that are good and not good, and the school systems and everything else. I've only purchased out of state, and so I'm always learning. And as much as I think I know a market, I realize I don't know anything compared to people that live there. So that's a real plus. Now, you mentioned HUD. Are you a HUD agent as well,
or yes, broker? Yeah, so I list HUDs or properties for HUD, which are foreclosures that the government insured, so they actually go back to the government. We have very few foreclosures in Colorado right now. At one point, my team and I were listing about 200 houses a year that were foreclosures or HUD homes, and now I think it's under 10 a year. So the business has changed completely, but yep, I still technically am a HUD listing agent.
Now, do you ever buy homes at auctions or you know, the courthouse steps, that kind of thing?
I do once in a while. When I first started, my father and I, 90% of the houses we bought were from the foreclosure auction, the public trustee here in Colorado is who sells them. Recently, I think I've bought one property from that auction in the last 3 years. And the competition has just gotten much more fierce, many more investors bidding there, and I can get a lot better deals from properties on the MLS, which surprises people, but you know, being an agent is a huge advantage to getting offers in, getting things done quickly. And I've learned, you know, what to look for motivated sellers.
Yeah, well, one of the things that actually the way I found out about you is I think you have more content on the internet on real estate investing than any other person in existence. I am like amazed at the amount of content you provide. I mean, you're always writing. You've always got some great stuff out there. And I ended up getting your blueprint. I was one to actually acquire your, you know, the blueprint, real estate investing blueprint, and was a great resource. And then you stumbled onto your other articles, and you've got you know, now you've got a podcast and videos and all kinds of stuff out there. So it's a, you're a great resource for people. And, you know, I really want our listeners here to be familiar with investformore.com as a resource to get information on everything. I mean, under the sun about real estate investing. I really enjoy it. I was thinking along those terms is, you know, you've been doing this for a while now, and you've been, like you mentioned, I think your first house was in 2010 that you purchased. So, you know, 7 years into it here, what would you say is your sort of biggest mistake as an investor?
There's a couple. So I love to learn from my own mistakes because it makes me feel better about them. but as far as rental properties, I wish I would have bought them sooner. You know, that was probably the biggest mistake I made, just in not buying more of them. You know, I don't feel bad about that. I don't regret that because, you know, you can't always just jump into things with both feet. But if I would have bought more sooner, I'd be in much better shape. And as far as one of the biggest mistakes real estate wise was back in 2006, I decided to fix a flip myself. So I went into it. I remodeled the kitchen, I remodeled the bathrooms, I painted the house, I put in flooring, took out a wall, put in new windows, put in new doors, and I thought I'd be saving all this money by doing the labor myself, and it was just a huge mistake. It took me like 6 months to do the work, where it would have taken a normal contractor, you know, 6 weeks or 2 months. The work wasn't as good as a contractor because I was learning as I went, and just the time and carrying costs of that. Any money I saved was out the window because it took me so long. Plus, as an agent, you know, and I wasn't selling houses because I was spending all my time there. I wasn't finding new properties to flip because I was spending all my time there. And it was just super stressful on top of all that. So I learned a lot about houses and construction, which was good. And I also learned never to ever do that again.
Now, I would think the flipping side of it, I mean, some of it you go, oh, yeah, I can put in a new counter or appliance, something like that. But the thing that would scare me the most is the mechanicals, the plumbing, the electrical, you know, finding out that, oh, my gosh, this thing's been wired wrong. Or have you encountered those kinds of situations? You bought something, you find out, oh, man, the foundation's messed up or something like that.
Yeah, we do. And on that house I worked in myself, I did not touch the plumbing or the electric because I knew I wasn't qualified to do that. And so I still had to bring in other contractors to do some work, which, yeah, it was a mess. But, in a lot of the properties, you know, the nice thing about buying from the MLS is we can see the properties. I can look at them. A lot of times I can tell where there's going to be issue or problems. I still buy most of my houses without an inspection contingency, which gives me a better chance to get the deal. But I build in room for unknowns. I figure there's going to be, you know, if I figure it's going to cost $20,000 to fix up the house, I automatically assume it's actually going to cost $25,000 because we'll find more things that need done. Something pops up, the contractor has an issue. So I always build in kind of some room for mistakes or unknowns into each flip. We've had a couple where we had some, you know, big surprises with the foundation. But really, I mean, foundations you can fix fairly cheaply if you have the right person. It's funny. We have a guy who works on our foundations, and an agent in our office asked for a recommendation, and we gave them our guy's number, and he was going to charge him $3,600 to fix the foundation. The two other companies they used, one was $16,000 and one was $22,000 to do the same repair. So there's a lot of foundation companies, the mold remediation guys, you can find some real sharks out there. So you have to be careful.
Yeah. I think contractors in general are one of those things that, man, you really got to know what you're doing because you can end up in all kinds of situations there. And especially if it's somebody that, that maybe is a little less than honest. So that's you must have a crackerjack team, I would imagine by now of folks that, you work with on a regular basis.
We do, but it's constantly changing. And that's our biggest roadblock. Is still contractors. I hired a full-time handyman this year just to work for me so I could, you know, tell him where to work all the time. And I've thought about building my own contracting crew because of that. But, you know, we've had contractors who've been great for us for 5 years, and then all of a sudden they fall off. They stop working hard, they stop paying attention. So it's a constant struggle to find good contractors and keep them working good.
Right. And do you have sort of a target, a return on each of your flips that you try to get?
I want at least a $25,000 profit on each property. And so we buy them from $75,000 to $150,000 is kind of our sweet spot. And that's the very low end of the market here. And then we end up selling them usually, $190,000 to $250,000. And I want to make at least $25,000 on the lower range properties. And that kind of moves up a little bit as you get up higher. But my average profit over the years has been right about $33,000 on the properties we flip.
And on average, what would you say your rehab costs are?
It's been going up lately. That's one difficulty in a hot market is you have to, you know, get properties that need more work, and labor is going up. So, I mean, you know, 10 years ago, it used to be $15,000 seemed to be the average for a job. Now it's probably closer to $30,000, on the rehabs we're doing. Some of them, you know, we've done a couple $80,000 rehabs the last year, but right around $30,000, maybe even $35,000 is probably our average right now.
Right. Well, as you mentioned, your sort of your biggest mistake there. What would you say would be your biggest success in the time that you've been an investor?
You know, we've had a couple flips that were really awesome. There were two properties we made over $100,000 on. So those are always nice to see. But I always tell people, don't expect to do that on every house. You know, we flipped over 100 houses, and I think two of them, you know, we made those big paydays on. So that's nice. But really, I mean, I think rental properties have just been the best investment I could have done. Looking over the years at my 14 properties, after I sold my two properties this summer, there are two properties I didn't, you know, they're kind of my least desirable ones. One was real hard to rent. The other one wasn't in the area I normally would buy in, but I stretched my numbers at the end to keep buying properties. But after I sold those, and I've refinanced properties over the years, I did some calculations and realized I've invested almost no money into my properties, and I have 14 of them that have about $1.5 million in equity, and they make me about $7,000 a month. So it's pretty tough to find another investment that can give you those numbers. And I didn't, you know, obviously I had to invest quite a bit of money in the beginning because I'd put 20% down and repair them. But after refinancing them, after selling a couple, really it was almost a capital-free investment. And so that's really been my biggest success is buying those properties. And just after realizing that, I'm really trying to figure out, you know, how I can buy more rentals because I think that's the best way to create wealth in this business.
Now, how do you decide what you're going to keep and what you're going to flip?
The flips, I don't care where I buy them.
Okay.
You know, they can be, you know, $50,000 houses, $250,000 houses. They can be 1 mile away from me or 30 miles away. I just want to make sure there's enough profit in there to sell them, you know, in 6 months and make money. I am much more particular with my rentals. You know, I'm looking at neighborhoods, at schools, at rent to value ratios, at the condition, at the age of the home. So really I want, you know, I'd love to have newer rentals, properties that obviously rent for quite a bit compared to what you can buy them for. And I want them, you know, in neighborhoods that are more stable. And so I'm really more particular with my rentals. And if I, you know, at the time, if I was finding those good rentals, I would keep those over flipping them as much as I could, just because they're so hard to find. So the biggest difference is really the best properties that make the most cash flow I'd rent, keep as rentals, and the ones, you know, they're farther away, maybe older houses, needed a bunch of work, those are the ones I would flip.
Are you buying more in B neighborhoods or is it C and B neighborhoods? I would say class where your rentals would fall.
Almost all of my rentals are in B or maybe A neighborhoods. I think I have, you could classify one of them as a C, I would say right now. Mm-hmm. But I really like that kind of B neighborhood, just below kind of the median value in our area. They, you know, they're not brand new houses. A lot of them are 30 years old. But just the rent to value ratio is great. And, you know, going through the housing crisis, Colorado did get hit by that. Not, you know, we didn't lose 100% or 50% of our values in a year, but you know, we lost some values, and you see, you know, the C and D class neighborhoods lose value so much faster, get, you know, the rents go down faster, they're harder to rent. So the A and B neighborhoods were much more stable, did much more better, and that's what I focused on.
Right. And do you with the rental homes that you buy, do you put much into them in terms of rehab, or is it just real light?
I try to buy them as light as possible, but that's, you know, dream story. It hasn't always happened. I always want to get a really good deal on my rentals. So most of the rentals I've bought, I probably could have flipped and made, you know, $20,000 to $30,000 on them because I got such a good deal. But when you're doing that, you have to buy sometimes houses that need work. So for most of them, I'd say they needed about $15,000 in work. A couple I bought that needed only a couple thousand, and a couple I bought needed 20 or 25. But I really tried to stay in that $15,000 range for repairs and not take on, you know, huge, massive projects.
Right. Well, with, you know, our audience, a lot of the folks there are, some of them are looking at real estate as a potential means to be able to better prepare them for their retirement in terms of generating some cash flow that they know they'll have as they're in their retirement years. Or there are those that are already in retirement and they're trying to deal with the fact that, oh man, you know, the money that I have allocated for this isn't enough. I really need to supplement it, need to find other sources. For somebody like that, that's starting out, that, you know, really has zeroed in on real estate investing as the means to be able to do that, what kind of advice would you give? How would you recommend that they get started out? Where should they focus their efforts on?
One reason why I love rental properties so much is exactly what you just said. They provide income every month. And, you know, I kind of looked at the retirement calculators for investing in the stock market and realized how much money I'd have to invest to save the money in retirement that I wanted. And and that led me to rental properties. And I think looking at rental properties is the first step. If they're looking at them, trying to buy them, awesome. One thing that's you have to look at is if you're going to buy properties, you know, if you can buy them before you retire, it's going to be so much easier than after you retire, because it'll be hard to get loans from a bank if you have no income coming in or you're, you know, living off your retirement savings. So the sooner you can buy them, the better. Really focus on cash flow. You know, my properties have gone up in value because our market's crazy and that's been awesome, but there's no guarantees that's going to happen. And if you're making money every month, you can weather those storms. If prices go down, it doesn't hurt you that much. And so I've always tried to focus on cash flow, and that can be tough in some markets like where you're at in California, and that's where you have to look at other states, different places to invest. But if you can, you know, really focus on the basics of buying below market value, getting a great deal, cash flow, and then, you know, proper management, which I always advise to use a property manager. I think it saves me so much time and hassle. You can be in great shape, and it's not easy. It's much more difficult than just putting your money in a mutual fund or the stock market. But I think the benefits outweigh the cons and the work it takes so much more, because you've got that money coming in every month. You're not having to guess how much money you have to save. And it's so much more stable than other ways to retire.
That's great advice. Thanks, Mark. Well, where do you see your investing going? I mean, you're probably looking ahead, long ways ahead, because you're a young guy in terms of retirement. But where would you like to see it ultimately end up?
Some of my short-term goals, I want to flip 30 houses this year. So that's one big goal. Like I said, the 100 properties by 2023, I'm trying to kind of reevaluate and figure out how I can achieve that, or if I switch it to units instead of properties or go to commercial. So that's kind of a crossroads right now as far as building that passive income. And I want to grow my team as well. So I have 6 licensed agents on my team right now. I've kind of tried to set that up so they're working on their own, making money. I have a team manager. I'm not as involved in that. So I want to grow that team, and I may actually start my own brokerage soon. So that's a big goal for the next year or two that I'm looking at. So I have a lot of things going on. I think one of my challenges is not getting too scattered and focusing on a few major things. But yeah, for the future, I think my main focus is buying more rentals, whether that's, you know, residential in another market or commercial in my market, starting my own office eventually and building that up, and then really getting my flipping business going to where it's sustainable without me constantly working all the time. I have a project manager now, Nikki, who does awesome, and I'm working towards that. And of course, the blog, you know, has been doing great, and I want to keep growing that. I've got a couple new books coming out this year, and there's four main businesses I'm trying to focus on and keep going with. And it's my biggest challenge is focusing and making sure I don't take on too many tasks.
Well, I got to chuckle when you say that, because here, you know, he's a realtor, a broker, a real estate investor, author, creator. He's flipping over 100 houses, 16 rental properties, 5 books. I'm looking at this. I'm going, you don't want to spread yourself too thin. Oh my gosh, it looks like.
Right.
I don't even know how you do all this, and you got a family. I mean, man, oh man, that's you've got to be one very well organized guy.
Well, my team is awesome. So not only do I have agents on my team, I have, you know, a couple of full time assistants, and I didn't set up all my businesses at once. I set up one at a time, really focused on, you know, getting it to run without me, and then moved on to something else. So it's tough to do a lot of different things at once, but if you can focus on one thing at a time, it makes it much easier.
Now, I wouldn't imagine you do really traditional realtor type things. I mean, Sundays, waiting for, you know, at open houses and that kind of thing. I don't picture you doing that with all that you have on your plate.
No, I don't at all. So yeah, even friends and family now, I refer out to people on my team. So I don't do any of the actual showings or listings. It all goes out to other agents.
Right. Yeah, I think you have to have time to run the invest for more empire here. Well, we're kind of having to come to the end here of our time. And I know there's a lot of stuff I'd like to ask you, but kind of limited here, unfortunately, because limit on the show here. But I do want to move into what we call our wrap it up session. And that's where I ask you a series of quick questions, and you just kind of give me your quick replies to it. And we'll just go ahead and get started from there. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Favorite real estate book?
The one that really helped me the most was Gary Keller's Millionaire Real Estate Investor.
That's a great one, yeah. How about favorite business book?
Think and Grow Rich, for sure.
All right. Most valuable website for success other than your own?
I would say one that many of you probably have not heard of that's more for entrepreneurs is Secret Entourage. And I know the owner of that. He's an immigrant, came from nothing, and has multi-million dollar businesses. So I really like Secret Entourage.
Oh, it's the first time I've heard of that. I'm going to look that one up. That's great. How about favorite app?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think Dropbox is the one I use the most, just for documents and pictures and uploading things in my business. It really makes things easy. Even though I run a website, I am not a tech savvy person. I have other people handle all that. So for me, simplicity is the best.
I love it. How about favorite quote?
Conquer the resistance, which is from Stephen Pressfield, his book, The War of Art. And it was basically, what that means is, you know, every time you get to something great or about to finish up a huge project, you just run into this resistance where it's so hard to finish, so hard to motivate yourself. And if you can kind of notice that resistance, think about it, and push yourself through it, it'll make great things happen.
Love it. That's great. And our final question here, if, let's say, something cataclysmic happened and you lost everything and all you had was $1,000 in the bank, how would you spend that money to relaunch your real estate investing business?
That's tough with that much money, but I think what I'd have to do is, hopefully I still had a car, so I would just drive for dollars. I would drive around my town or wherever I was investing, look for vacant properties, look for distressed properties, go knock on doors, use that money to send them letters, and hopefully I could get a few deals. And, you know, if I still had my real estate license, maybe I could list some houses for some people, start making money that way, or maybe wholesale them to some other investors is how I go about it.
Oh, that's great. And maybe seller financing. I don't know if you've done much of that, but, you know, get them to carry it back at least in, for the intro.
Yep.
That's great. Great. Wow. Well, gosh, what happened to the time here? But I really appreciate your being on. How can our listeners find you, locate you, write to you, whatever? What's the best way for them to reach you?
Yeah, investformore.com is my blog, my website. As you said, I have 450 articles I've written now, I think, in the podcast. So that's invest, F-O-U-R, then M-O-R-E.com. I have some free books from free resources there. And then you can always email me, mark@investformore.com. I am not a phone person. My phone rings constantly. And believe it or not, I'm an introvert and grew up one of the shyest people you ever know. So I have email that works best for me. And that's the best way to find me. And hopefully I can provide some help and resources for people.
Oh, great. Well, we appreciate all that you have done. I cannot believe you have that many articles on your site. Wow. Well, with all our guests, we have a tradition here. We are called the Old Dogs REI Network, and we have all of our guests close us out with their best old hound dog howl. And I understand you had a hound dog at one time or something similar.
I had a basset hound, but he never really howled, so I'm not sure. It's maybe more of a wolf howl, if that's okay.
that's okay, too. Well, give it your best shot, Mark.
All right.
Ow!
All right. Good job. Well, thank you so much, Mark, for being on. We really appreciate it. You've been a great guest, and hopefully maybe we'll link up in the future here and get you back on and explore maybe some of the other areas we just touched upon in our interview here. So
sounds great, Bill. Happy to be on, and had a lot of fun. And yeah, I'd be happy to do it again sometime.
Great. Well, also for all those out there listening, our old dog listeners, we really appreciate your listening and participating today. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us means a lot, and we greatly appreciate it. Please note that everything that we presented here today will be outlined in pretty good detail in our show notes, which are listed on the Old Dogs website at Old Dogs, spelled D-A-W-G-S, REINetwork.com /blog. And the show notes are located in the blog section. So you can just go in there, and if there's any links or anything that Mark mentioned, we'll have them there for you. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.